So, from Eden the Queer Buccaneer, we've got Welcome to T-Rexum.
Welcome to T-Rexum.
Yep.
This is Jurassic Park X. Welcome to Wrexham, the documentary.
So this is a universe in which on Twitter one day we all saw Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney go, "We've bought a dinosaur island."
Tom, I think this isn't a separate universe.
Yeah, yeah.
This is in three seasons' time.
Yeah.
When to get into it, Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
Frankly, to get into it.
Yeah.
Wrexham are now what?
No.
League One.
Sounds good.
Not the Premier League.
Yeah.
But like, it's the kind of place, just gone up again.
Mm.
It's the kind of place where you've got to spend quite a lot of money. And not movie star money.
No.
Like, corporation.
Saudi Arabian prince
yeah. money.
Yeah.
Right? This team is never going to make the money, is what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they slowly, in two seasons' time, they're realizing that.
Mm.
Right? And they go, how can we start to make money out of Wrexham? We own the whole town now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they like us. So they own the whole town.
And they're watching Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And they turn to each other.
Yeah.
And go, oh! But it's shot in a documentary style. So they all get quite, like, nostalgic and sentimental. Like, I've always loved dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to bring dinosaurs to like a sort of rural-ish Welsh town.
they've done the mining, right? You know, in the middle of Welcome to Wrexham.
Yeah.
They have episodes where it's like the mining history of Wrexham.
Yeah.
You know, or like this is the personal history of this player, or
yeah.
like. Here's we talked to this alcoholic rando from the town and see what happened in his life.
Yeah, yeah.
We've exhausted all that. So
they've done a bit on everyone in Wrexham.
Exactly. And yeah. and not only everyone in Wrexham, but everyone who ever lived in Wrexham.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so they have to go even further back. They're like,
yeah.
Through this part of Wrexham used to roam this particular dinosaur.
I found the bones when I was mining back in the day. And we brought him back to life, we did. We used the cloning techniques. That film, what was the film called? What was the film called?
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, that was the one. That was the one, wasn't it? Yeah. It's just this silly bit. So there's a T-Rex roaming around Jurassic Park.
Roaming around Wrexham, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
Made from DNA extracted from coal.
Yeah. Yes. And it's all Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds.
Just running away from dinosaurs.
Yeah. Or interviewing them.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And at this point, I was getting pretty scared. He was getting pretty scared. Like
that T-Rex has kids to feed now.
Like, yeah, they interview the dinosaurs.
They're planning on sacking him to get another a better striker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
after the T-Rex ate Mullen.
And then they have a whole episode where they just feature the T-Rex's podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to T-Rexum. Now on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
We're doing crossover movies today,
yeah.
Tom. And I like, in my head, I got all that kind of, you know, Freddy versus Jason,
yeah.
Alien versus Predator. Like, they're never good movies, but like they're sort of like, they're bad in a sort of expected way. Right.
Yeah, the thing is, like, no one goes in making, like, intending to make a bad movie. But
no.
I think with those, definitely.
Mm.
Like,
it's like, because the impetus for those movies is like, what if, like, I got a similar feeling from this movie and that movie. It would
yeah.
make sense for these people, for these things to, like, it's not really about, I want to tell this story. What they're not going into, Alien versus Predator thinking,
yeah.
is, what if
the humans' mastery over technology deserts them, met impregnation body horror. Right? They're not thinking of that, are they? Yeah. They aren't going like, how? What metaphorically is at the meeting point of those things?
Yeah.
They're going, how can we make these two scary boys fight?
Yeah. The same was said in a boardroom script meeting about Superman versus Batman.
Yeah.
How can we make these two scary boys fight? Yeah.
And like, and so like, I was like, okay, they're boring, whatever. I've got to do the title post. Googled crossover movies.
Yeah, you could. There was a surprising amount you could have done.
Yeah, for sure. And scrolled down through 300 million Avengers movies and
oh, of course, movies. Yeah.
And like Glass and, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, you know, the surprising ones.
Well, we're in the sort of era of the crossover movie.
Yeah, we are.
Didn't even realize, like, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe is such a thing now where it's kind of like just a big TV show.
You expect it, yeah.
You expect crossovers with that.
Yeah.
But like Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Those were events.
They were events back in the day as well.
Mm.
Like, I think Godzilla vs. Kong is the one that sort of, like, inspired us to put it on the poll.
Yes, yeah, the kaiju movie stuff.
Yes.
Oh, to put crossover movies. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Godzilla vs. Kong and...
Because it was back to being an event rather than it being a, like, the start of a cinematic universe.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Godzilla vs. Godzilla X Kong is meant to be the start of it, despite the fact that they've already had movies.
It is a cinematic universe.
It is, but it's like of those movies, right? It's like the third in a series of like Godzilla, Kong, and then those two together.
Oh no, I'm sure there's been like three Godzilla movies at this point in that cinematic universe, as well as Skull Island.
Yeah, but
and
like,
the Monarch TV show on Apple TV.
Okay, hang on, that's new to me.
Yeah, no. Like, there's a surprising amount in this big monsters universe.
The Monarch?
Monarch TV show. Yeah.
What's it about?
It's effectively the big monsters Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Monarch is the company that sort of is in the background of all these movies.
Right, but they're going out every day looking for giant animals.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like The Rock in Rage, where it was.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know the big monkey movie with The Rock? Dwayne, you and Jenny
watched Rampage.
Rampage,
yes.
Yeah.
The one based on a video game.
Mm.
Yeah. No, Monarch is like, it's a TV show. I think they go after monsters. I've not got Apple TV.
Okay, yeah, fair.
But apparently... Kurt and Wyatt Russell are in it, playing the same character, years apart.
Interesting.
So Wyatt Russell is the agent soldier man, the fake Captain America from the Captain America TV show.
Right.
He's also in like an episode of Black Mirror and whatever. Like, really good actor, but he's the son of Kurt Russell. They're both playing the same character, which is really cool.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, so... The reason we brought it up was, that became kind of an event again. Okay, sure, it is a cinematic universe, but it doesn't pitch itself as a cinematic universe. It keeps pitching itself as crossover movies.
That is a good point. Yeah, no, you are right in that, because
nobody's going like, oh, I want to watch the creatures from the Monarch show.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going like, oh, I watched Skull Island and there were all these teasers.
Well... That's the thing. I mean, the cinematic universe started off in 2014, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
With Gareth Edwards as Godzilla,
mm.
which you wouldn't have thought was the start of this thing.
No,
and then Skull Island came out, and then you've got all these other ones. Like Godzilla, King of Monsters. I think there's another one. It's one of those film franchises that I'm just sort of like, I'm sure there's more, but I don't think there is. Like Pirates of the Caribbean, you'd think there'd be more Pirates of the Caribbean.
It feels like there's
movies.
17.
But there's actually five.
Five, yeah. Which is still more than there need to be.
Definitely.
But yeah, like, so I'm scrolling down this list, past a billion superhero movies, and I'm like, oh shit, the original.
Mm.
The original
Avengers.
The original, speaking of which.
Yeah.
Starring Sean Connery, the original Avenger, is the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, LXG.
LXG.
On all the posters, it's got LXG.
Or it's like, what is it, Independence Day is referred to as ID4 for some reason. It was that era of films.
Yeah, they just needed something.
Just a big word art,
three letters.
Few letters, yeah.
Triple X.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
No.
But, like, it's big, it's bold, we don't know how to think about it. Like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The interesting thing to me is, because I've been thinking about this, is that it isn't characters from pulp, which is what you'd expect. Most movies, full stop, like, are derived from... fiction movies about anything that's, like, supernatural or anything like that...
Yeah, yeah.
...is derived from pulp.
Yeah.
Which is what, like, late 1900s to 1930.
Yeah, sort of. I'd push it sort of up to the 50s potentially as well. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, it's all those, like, sci-fi and the Flash Gordon type stuff,
Flash
right?
Gordons, the noir detectives as well. Mm. Yeah, so...
But League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, quite uniquely, is from Victorian fiction. It's the Avengers of Victorian fiction, which means Jekyll and Hyde. It means The Invisible Man. It means Captain Nemo.
Yes, from 2,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah. You've got this Jules Verne shit going on.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, he's in there.
Yeah,
whose
yeah.
superpower is being American.
He's got a gun. Someone gave Tom Sawyer a gun, and he's also in the CIA, I believe,
in that
film.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything with his, like, Tom Sawyer, like, convince someone to paint the fence for you powers. Oh. Right? Because it's not well...
He never does that, yeah.
He's never... It's not well written enough for the dialogue, for him to do a cool, believable dialogue double-speak trickery.
Yes,
right?
Of course. They needed some Joss Whedon figure to come in and write.
Some snappy, engaging dialogue where you go, I'd have been got by that.
Character bits.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it's just not there. Because what they do instead is give Tom Sawyer a gun.
Yeah. That's all they do. It's based on an Alan Moore comic.
It is, yeah. And I think certainly you can imagine Alan Moore doing it slightly more interestingly. Like,
interesting in inverted commas.
Like, sure. I mean, I've never read the comic, so I couldn't tell you.
Alan Moore is like, to me,
is
like, I'm not going to say the Zack Snyder of comic books, but... Because that would be doing Alan Moore a disservice.
Extremely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, nothing about Alan Moore's work appeals to me.
Mm,
it's...
I can see that.
It's... I do not get the hype at all. And I think with this, I think it's... The comics are probably given more credit, I think.
I don't think the comics are... Well, I think the comics probably are better than that movie.
Oh, without a doubt. There's not much that's not better than that movie, you know? If you've watched it. I used to love it. Like, 12-year-old me, or like however old I was when it came out, was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's like, there's a big ship and there's explosions and Jekyll and Hyde is a superhero.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I totally get the crossover here. This is like all the... fictional things. It was like, oh, what world is this that brings all these characters together? It's really quite fun. The film now, though, I think maybe about like 2 years later I watched it again, and I much like the Chronicles of Riddick. where it's like, oh, this is amazing,
this is so good,
and then watched it again, I was like, oh my god, this is awful. This is really, really bad.
There's a lot going on here and none of it's actually engaging. I fell asleep, like, not in the first viewing of it. Like you, was so blown away by the concepts on show.
Yes.
That I failed to
figure out what was going on in the movie.
So, fun fact.
Yeah.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Turned down Lord of the Rings
to be,
like, well, he turned down Lord of the Rings and then got into League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was his last film.
Was it?
He quit after that movie.
Man, I mean, so would I.
Also, Stuart Townsend,
yeah,
who plays Dorian Gray, was also, like, they screen tested and shot, I think, a few scenes of him as Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Really?
And then Peter Jackson was like, this isn't working.
Do you know what? I tell you what. All of you listening right now who absolutely love Lord of the Rings, you better say a quick thank you to LXG.
Well, no. Like, basically, those two guys sort of were either kicked out or didn't understand Lord of the Rings.
Right.
So they went on to do, like, I don't think there's, like, a kind of, like, any correlation.
Oh, this is a better idea. I'll do the LXG rather than
I've got a choice of Lord of the Rings or League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I'll go with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, please. No, it's kind of just sort of, they fell into that kind of thing. Which leads me to my podcast recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that happens all the time, and there's a podcast called What Went Wrong.
Mm.
And it's these two people who basically document, like, summarize what happened on, like, troubled shoots.
Okay.
And it's incredible. Like, some of the sort of, like, glimpses into parallel universes are amazing. Like, I've listened to a few where I've been like, oh, I kind of want to know the story. Like, I think I just sort of left podcasts running on Spotify and it played the Fury Road one.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is actually really fun. I'm listening to the Jurassic Park one at the moment. But they did a 3-part Lord of the Rings one. And the shit that Harvey Weinstein did to that movie before they even got, like, a deal.
Right.
Because, like, apparently Peter Jackson had started a first look deal with anything Peter Jackson was going to do.
Okay.
Harvey Weinstein was like, you're going to make it one movie and it's going to be $75 million. Which is, like, I think if he went over $75 million, he had to go to Disney for it.
Right.
Because it was Miramax, their indie brand. And Peter Jackson was like, no. And then he gave him 2 weeks to shop it around and get a deal. Otherwise, I think the quote was, I'll get Tarantino to do it.
Yeah, oh my God.
Which I'm just sort of like, that as an example of, like, what could have been.
What awful, awful spells could have been cast in the movie industry.
what could have been Quentin Tarantino's Lord of the Rings.
Sounds so awful.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, Tarantino, I do enjoy quite a lot of his movies, but I'm just like, he is not right for Lord of the Rings.
And he's also, like, Harvey Weinstein was bullshitting.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have done it.
Like, he would have just let it go.
Yeah, like Quentin Tarantino, for all his faults.
Yeah.
I don't really like his movies that much. For all his faults. The man makes movies he wants to make. He doesn't make other people's movies.
He doesn't make other people's movies. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's talking about doing a Star Trek one. He's talking about that for a while.
I mean, he must have an interest in Star Trek in order to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see Quentin
Tarantino. I don't
want to
see that at all.
Trek.
No. He's the wrong man to do it.
Very much the wrong man to do it. But...
But yeah, What Went Wrong podcast.
Yeah.
Listen to it. If you enjoy the sort of... ridiculous stories of filmmaking. Mm. It's like I've had to, like, pause it because I've just been like, wow. It's incredible.
Check it out. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was very funny to me because it's made me think about, like, role-playing games and tabletop games and board games and stuff. How very little they use the genre of Victorian fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very different to pulp fiction.
Mm.
Like,
not the Tarantino movie.
No.
Just the concept.
The concept of Pulp Fiction, right? Like, these big... Everyone's doing the sort of, like... what do they call it? Retro-futuristic...
Yeah.
Pulp-feeling stuff, right? There's lots of games, video games, board games that use retro-futurism.
Yeah.
It's relatively popular.
Yeah.
Like... Victorian fiction? I'm looking at LXG and I'm like, I don't know why I'm calling it League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
You know it so well. It's one of your favourite movies.
It is.
I call it LXG. any true leaguer would.
I've just immersed myself in the marketing so much. I'm calling it what they wanted to be.
You're such a league head.
In 2004 or whatever it was. So, with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it was just like it's just like funny to see shots from that, stills from that movie, trailer of that movie, and just be like, it's just some men standing around, like,
and one woman, Bride of Dracula or something.
Yeah, it's really not great.
It's not at all. But
Tom Sawyer. Man with gun. Whatever his name is, who Indiana Jones was inspired by, the person who
Quatermain,
yeah. That guy.
Mm.
Those pulp things, that Victorian fiction, adventure fiction of him was, I mean, obviously doesn't age well, but like, it's fun in that kind of like, he's looking for the waters of youth, and then someone's jealously guarding it, and they just happen to be culturally coded in a certain sort of way.
Yeah.
Victorian fiction's a lot like that. It's very colonial. But like, it is very, very much a sort of like, the interesting stuff comes from the Orient. You
know,
Early Doctor Who. there is some interesting stuff to it, like, because oftentimes it's just like random bloke is good at his job, and then he is exciting and action packed.
This is Victorian fiction. Yeah.
And then goes to a mysterious place on the globe.
Sherlock Holmes isn't in League of LXG.
No, he isn't.
No, no. I'm surprised by that. I don't think he's in the comic.
No.
The graphic novel.
I don't think so.
No. Maybe not in... I think this might be the story behind it. Maybe they were all in public domain.
Could be that.
When they did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, when he originally wrote
the comic,
it. They all just came into public domain, so he was like, okay, right, I'm taking this. Yeah. So... That's a good way of doing it.
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Crossover.
Crossovers in the public domain.
I just thinking about what's in public domain. I've got Steamboat Willie.
Yep.
I've got Sherlock Holmes. Yep. Batman came into public domain recently.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Right. And Winnie the Pooh. I'm going to have all those.
So you've got half Kingdom Hearts and half...
Yeah.
Half like... Half detectives.
Yeah. I'm going to show them the darkness. Show them the darkness.
Well, what you should
do... You've got Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse has Steamboat Willie. You can't have any other Mickey Mouse.
No, just Steamboat Willie.
Just Steamboat Willie.
And so what you've got is you've got a happy little fellow who drives a boat.
Yeah.
And Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Showing...
A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh.
Showing Bruce Wayne and Sherlock Holmes how to enjoy life. And then Sherlock Holmes and Batman showing the Winnie the Pooh and Steamboat Willie the dark side of the world.
Yeah.
If you were doing a team-up, it's Winnie the Pooh X... Steamboat Willie X Batman X Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And they're versus in some way.
Yes.
Two teams of two. What are you picking?
What am I picking? Who's going up against who?
Yeah.
Like,
this isn't to try and win. This is the best story is going to come out.
Oh.
Of.
Sherlock Holmes and Winnie the Pooh.
This is a surprisingly tough call.
Because it's got to be one dark detective and one happy-go-lucky sidekick.
Yeah. No, that works. If they're sidekicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Watson's replaced by Winnie.
Yeah.
For example. That'd be good. I think you've got Winnie the Pooh and Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And Steamboat Willie and Batman.
Yeah. I'm thinking of this in the Page Master cinematic universe, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, books are coming to life.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find out who's causing it, but they all think each other have caused it.
I'm trying to think who the villain is, who the villain behind it all is.
Yeah, I mean, like, probably like a...
Maybe Tom Sawyer.
Maybe. Yeah, like someone who's been who got out of that book portal early and set up the world in such a way. Yeah.
Well, Steamboat Willie is purely film.
Yeah.
The rest are all book-based.
Yeah, but you can get films in the library.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Stuck in the... That's the third time in as many weeks you brought the Pagemaster
up. Listen, I'll keep
doing
it. It
came up on Twitter the other day. Yeah, yeah. I watched the scene where Macaulay Culkin gets changed from paint to a... from real to a paint.
It's cool animation.
Yeah, it was cool animation.
Yeah.
I think it was like the effects on the Pagemaster, a thread or something. I watched the first thread where the paint is like dripping and then follows him around the library. And I've noticed, right, when the paint sort of like, it's going around like a wave going up and down the bookshelves.
Yeah.
When the paint touches the bookshelves, it turns them to cartoon.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's like, it's a detail I did not notice when I was a kid.
Nope.
But I'm just like, that's great.
It is good.
Yeah.
Listen, Tom, as long as you keep bringing up Nope, I'll keep bringing up the Pagemaster.
That's a good point. That's a deal I never thought I'd have. The worst thing about the Pagemaster is the animation didn't have any shading.
Mm.
It was all just the block colours.
Yeah.
Which I hate that as an animation
Interesting.
Style.
Interesting, yeah. I think it's novel. I don't hate it. Just sort of, yeah, it's like...
It looks cheaper than it could be.
It does look a bit cheaper than it could be, I suppose.
Yeah. But... Pagemaster.
Yeah.
Another crossover movie.
Another wonderful crossover movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And actually has one of the same characters in it
as
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Who?
Dr. Jekyll.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
I was like, is Ahab in LXG?
As portrayed by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh. That's interesting.
I'm sure regular listeners know that already.
The Pagemaster is one of those films that's like The Simpsons. You know, when you watch The Shining and The Simpsons and you're like, oh, I've got the gist of this
book. Yeah, I know. I didn't read the book.
I've read Moby Dick now. Yeah. I've seen The Pagemaster. Just a guy going after a whale, isn't it?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's... The Pagemaster does that so well. Just sums up these books really well. You know why? Because all Victorian fiction, very simple. I've said this about H.G. Wells before, where it's just sort of like...
What if weird thing?
Yeah, what if he could turn invisible?
Yeah.
What if he could go to the moon?
I guess that's what makes it so good for that, for League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, right? Like, just they're one concept characters, just like superheroes.
Yeah, basically. So, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it enough.
Oh, certainly.
Because...
I should have stopped bringing it up, really.
It does not warrant...
Yeah. No, it doesn't warrant deep discussion, really.
It doesn't warrant a rewatch.
No.
We'll definitely not do it for a commentary.
No.
Unless people suggest it.
Unless we get a bunch of new patrons who ask for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you see it, sign up at that slightly higher tier, we do take
the suggestions. Yeah. That's just baiting, if anything. I secretly want to watch it.
I think, out of morbid curiosity. I think I remember being incredibly bored last time I watched it.
Yeah.
I think we watched it, like, pre-COVID.
Yes. Yeah, I think we did watch it, like...
And it was just a tedious... It was just a tedious movie.
But, seeing as we're maybe doing a commentary on it, seeing I've put it out there, we might enjoy just riffing on it.
Yeah, we might.
Or we'll just be having a conversation over LXG.
LXG.
So, has there been any, like, I mean, not commercially successful, but, like, good crossover movies? And not...
not superhero ones.
Not Marvel Cinematic Universe or DC or whatever. And I'm counting, like, Split and Unbreakable in that as well.
Sure, Breakable Glass, Split,
Because that's M. Night Shyamalan going, I know what's popular now. I'll do my own
Marvel
superhero. I've got a superhero movie. Maybe it'll all look planned. It didn't. Mr. M. this is a tough question.
It is a tough question. It's always worked very well for stuff, TV shows. Crossover,
oh, yeah.
It's crossover stuff in TV shows. In fact, let me find you the
The Flash and stuff. Arrow.
Hang on. The Snow Globe Theory. Have you come across the Tommy Westfall Snow Globe theory?
No.
of crossover universes?
No.
So I'm not well up on this one, right? No. But there's a show called St. Elsewhere, right? And so it ran on NBC from 1982 to 1988, right? Mm. It's a, I think it's a hospital show. It's not really important to know what it is.
Mm.
All you need to know is, like, one of the last episodes. In fact, the last episode, I think.
Yeah.
There's a character, like an autistic kid character called Tommy Westfall.
Yeah.
And in the last episode of St. Elsewhere, the camera kind of pulls out of a distorted snow globe.
Yeah.
And out of it, the character Tommy Westfall, a different version of this kid,
yeah,
is staring at the snow globe, and the entire TV show has been happening in that snow globe. Okay, now here's where it gets weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a Cheers crossover in Elsewhere.
Vaguely heard of this.
And because there's a Cheers crossover in St. Elsewhere, there's also a Frasier crossover.
Oh, yeah, because the spin-off.
And in Frasier has been linked with Sex and the City, and Frasier has also been linked with a bunch of other shows that were on concurrently. Friends.
Yeah.
Friends had a bunch of crossover stuff, like where it was just needled in.
Yeah.
There are so many TV shows in it that, like, high-profile movies, because they have cameos in them, have been brought into the Tommy Westfall snow globe theory. Because it means they all exist in the same universe if you give this theory a go.
that's interesting.
Look it up on, like, Wikipedia or whatever. It's Tommy Westfall. Phall. The Tommy Westfall universe hypothesis.
Mm.
X-Files, Law and Order, like all sorts of stuff Doctor Who apparently is
somehow.
Yeah. In the 8th series of the revived Doctor Who in 2014, Ben Wheatley had the art department create a replica of Tommy Westfall's snow globe, which Wheatley placed in the TARDIS set as a reference to the hypothesis.
Wow.
So it took on a life of its own, therefore, and has sort of been like...
That's a theory, and I guess there's like Easter egg stuff.
For sure, for people are doing it on purpose now. Like what's it called? The Wilhelm Scream.
Yes, yes. I'm thinking of like actual like films where they've gone, right, we're crossing over.
Yeah.
We're doing an Alien versus Predator, we're doing Batman v Superman.
Sure.
I'm trying to think. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, I mean that blends Disney and
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers, yeah, which is one of the biggest crossovers you can imagine, really.
Yeah, that's to the point. I think it's like they had to argue over frames.
Yeah,
of animation in that, like
which duck got more screen time?
Yeah, basically, and it's very odd the making of that movie. But yeah, I'm struggling to think of any good ones.
I mean, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is pretty good.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is good. It's good. It's good. Maybe Space Jam. You know, Warner Brothers cartoons and the IP of Michael Jordan.
Nike,
yeah. Air Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like... It's
not good.
They almost never turn out good. I think there are like probably more sort of ones in there, but I can't think of them at the moment.
Yeah. Like... It's the thing of... I know it's not the morbid curiosity of how you're going to cross these two over that gets people in seats. It's like, oh, I've seen that.
I want to see them together.
Yeah, I want to see them together. Alien vs. Predator does not make any... Like, I mean, it's got the alien sort of xenomorph in it.
Yeah.
But it does not make any kind of... Like, it does not go with...
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
The rest of the Alien films.
Franchise, yeah.
And
yeah.
Prometheus doesn't really go with the rest of the Alien movie.
Yeah.
It's done now, Alien. It's gone. Like, the moment they did Alien versus Predator, maybe even before then, they just... Because Predator, set in the modern day. Yeah. How are you going to do Alien, which is set 100 or so years in the future? Mm. It's dumb.
I could see a world in which, like, people start scouring through Mad Max movies to look for which universe it's the culmination of.
You know what I mean? Yeah, a bit, like...
Like, I think apocalyptic, like really far future stuff.
Yeah,
people trying to figure out like which movie universe is this a crossover with because it happens to work just this way or this brand or whatever.
It's so weird how people come up with. I think this is why crossover films work.
Yeah, this is why people want them.
Yeah, because like people have been theorizing that all the Pixar movies are linked together.
Yeah,
like how. You've maybe got some threads of ideas there, but it's not crossing. Like, how are you going to get Cars and The Incredibles together? We did this last week.
Yeah.
How are you going to get Cars?
Well, Syndrome made a simulation out of a game and put all the car
I say we did this last week. It's on a Patreon exclusive episode, which will be coming out shortly.
Yeah. But... So if you want to hear that, then go over to the Patreon.
And, yeah. Did a crossover movie there.
Like 3 months.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So with this in mind as there's no good crossover movies. Yeah.
But there are interesting ideas for crossover movies, which is where we end. where Life's Pitch, let's go.
Weirdly, I think my favourite one.
Mm.
Can you call Star Trek Generations...
Yes.
A crossover movie.
I think so.
Because it's the same franchises.
Not two franchises, but it is two franchises.
Yeah. Like, if you watch the original series of Star Trek and watch Star Trek The Next Generation, that is a crossover of two very different franchises.
Very much so, yeah. And not so with, like, DS9 and TNG, right? Like Next Generation and Deep Space Nine are... to use the parts that any human who isn't a Trekkie is going to understand.
Yeah.
Like, the first episode of Deep Space Nine
features
Jean-Luc Picard, right? Yeah. And...
They're spin-offs.
It feels spin-offy. It feels like they're of an idea. Like, they were made by the same production team and it like all the same EPs and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Same sets.
Yeah. Whereas Star Trek Generations is so clearly made in the... Star Trek The Next Generation style.
Yeah.
Because it is a Star Trek The Next Generation movie.
Mm.
It just has...
William Shatner in it.
Cameos.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Because William Shatner's not really in it for very long.
No.
Very little of it is about him as such. It just sort of features him.
One of my favourite scenes is of when they first meet. Because it's...
you... Genuinely living with you for God knows how many years. How long have we lived together? For?
5 years.
Five
maybe?
Years.
Yeah.
The amount of mornings that started with beautiful day. Looks like someone was trying to
cook some eggs.
Like, it's
just to quote that scene, because it's not good. No. It's not a good scene. It's like,
it's not a good movie.
How are you gonna have these two like icons meet? Shatter's chopping some wood and he's gonna walk around his house for a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that's William Shatner's house.
Yeah.
It could very well be his house. Yeah. That he's like, look at my house.
And he's got horses.
Yeah, he's got horses. Yes.
Because he wanted them.
I'll tell you about that movie. Star Trek documentary that William Shatner narrated and like produced.
No.
It starts off with William Shatner talking about horses for 5 minutes.
That's funny.
I cannot for the life of me remember what it's called. I think it's like Star Trek: The Captain's Journey or something like that. Okay. And it's like, I was laughing. It's one of those openings where I'm laughing because of how ridiculous an opening this is.
It's like Zap Brannigan made a documentary about himself.
No, I think it's a man who's obsessed with horses made a documentary about Star Trek.
His job once.
And he's just... Yeah. Prying it open and slamming horses in there. Because I looked at the clock and I was like, fucking hell, this is 5 minutes into a Star Trek documentary. I've learned nothing about Star Trek, but I've learned about William Shatner's obsession with horses.
I suppose so.
Shatner and horses, the best crossover.
The best crossover so far.
So shall we pitch some crossover
Let's
movies?
Do it.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Lives of Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.